This is Judith Lay saying Moramai, good morning and welcome, as the churches of the island are once more at your service. Manx Radio. Today, some of the island's churches open their doors once more for public worship. It's being done carefully and thoughtfully with sensible hygiene precautions in place, plenty of stewards to look after everyone, and space for those who'd like to be there but would prefer to continue to socially distance. More than ever, our churches will be places of welcome and security. The services will have plenty of music and a general theme of thanksgiving, but there will also be a time of prayer and remembrance for those who've died during the pandemic and for those who've been bereaved. In a recent letter about the reopening of some churches, Reverend Richard Hall, leader of the island's Methodists, quoted the words of St. Paul on the subject of hope. Paul writes about a hope which is not based on some vague optimism, but on the knowledge that God is in control and God is good. The God who gave his Son for us will not let us down. Reverend Richard then goes on to quote the first verse of a hymn. In heavenly love abiding, no change my heart shall fear, and safe is such confiding, for nothing changes here. The storm may roar without me, my heart may low be laid, but God is round about me, and can I be dismayed? And having read that, and feeling we all need that hope, I knew exactly what our opening hymn today should be. That was the Daily Service Singers and In Heavenly Love Abiding, a hymn based on the 23rd Psalm, the psalm that begins with the familiar words, The Lord is my shepherd. It's also at the heart of our Bible reflection today. Peter Shimin is a reader in the Anglican Church and he's based in Andreas. Peter often finds that life with his beloved dog, Jacko, has strong parallels with the teachings of Jesus. And this morning, Peter, with Jacko's help, is reflecting on the words of the 23rd Psalm, particularly in the light of the events of these last 3 months.
He raised me down to life. A year ago, Sylvia and I got married. Jacko is no longer my dog, but our dog. Jacko, in his old age, enjoys his bed. If I call him, he sometimes comes. If Sylvia calls him, he always comes. How annoying. The lovely 23rd Psalm starts off with, "The Lord is my shepherd." In a sense, Jacko has gained an extra shepherd, someone extra to care and look after him. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." This has been so true during the lockdown. Thanks to key workers, we've always had enough food and all the other necessities of life. We have a government with the overriding aim of protecting us from the coronavirus, but also providing help to those who have lost income and trying to protect our businesses. With the fantastic weather, many people started to enjoy gardening. With a 40-mile-an-hour limit and empty roads, many people took to their bikes. I think we have especially appreciated our island during lockdown. Even when we were restricted in our travel, there were lovely places to walk not too far away. We have a lot to be thankful for. But also in the psalm there is a sense of intimacy. The Lord is my shepherd. As we examine the psalm together, have a think whether you would like to make the Lord your shepherd. Jacko, being a lurcher, chases anything that moves. That can be cats, birds, even bits of paper blowing in the wind. So we only let him off a lead when it's safe to do so, just as a shepherd looks for a safe place for his sheep to graze. The 23rd Psalm goes on, "He restores my soul, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." During lockdown, we listened to the government advice. We did the right thing, maintained social distancing, and thankfully the island is free from COVID-19. In John's Gospel, Jesus announces that he is the Good Shepherd. Unlike modern-day shepherds who use dogs, Palestinian shepherds walked ahead, calling the sheep to follow. Only a familiar voice would make them come. If we read Jesus' words in the New Testament and follow his teaching, he will help us go on right paths to live a worthwhile life. We will inevitably sometimes go astray, but he accepts us just as we are. He died for us so that we could come to him and be forgiven. He rose again and gives us the Holy Spirit to help us live the way he wants us to. The psalm goes on. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." There have been dark times for many of us during lockdown. Many of us have lost loved ones. Close family have not been able to go to funerals across, and some, living in England, have not been able to say goodbye to someone who died here. People, especially those living alone, must have found it very difficult. But even in the very hard times, the Lord was around, perhaps especially so. 4 people I knew died during the restrictions, 2 from COVID-19, 2 from other causes. I was amazed and full of admiration at the use of technology in the funerals, so people unable to be present could feel they were taking part. If the Lord is our shepherd, we have nothing to fear. Jesus knows what it's like to be alone in a fearful situation. The Bible says, "Be not afraid," 366 times, one for every day of the year, including a leap year. As a shepherd's rod and staff comfort the sheep, so the Holy Spirit will comfort and strengthen us. The psalm continues. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Last Christmas we were going away to visit family. Normally some friends house sit for us looking after Jacko, but they were also off the island for Christmas. We tried a couple of boarding kennels he has been to before, but both were unable to take him. So we decided to bring him with us. I was fearful. He had never been on the boat before. But much to my surprise, Jacko enjoyed it. His highlight was when, nearing the end of the journey, a stewardess brought sausages which had been left over from the canteen. She gave one to each dog, including Jacko, and while she was getting another for another dog, Jacko leapt up and grabbed it. Then another dog owner with a very small dog gave Jacko her dog sausage. In the words of the psalmist, his cup overflowed. During the lockdown, though our enemy was a hidden enemy, yet with phones, WhatsApp and Skype, our cup could still overflow. Many now had time to phone absent friends. People appreciated the NHS as never before, with clapping on a Thursday at 8. Some who were homeless were found homes. The community came together, and many volunteers helped. We had two people doing our shopping for us as we were judged to be vulnerable. Those friendships have grown. Despite the ravages of the hidden enemy, the worry about jobs, there was a silver lining. Finishes, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The slogan says, "A dog is for life, not for Christmas." 9 years ago I said I would take Jacko, and I can truthfully say my life has not been the same since. There have been some difficult times, even embarrassing times, but I've always had his devoted love. If someone invites Jesus in, it is for life and actually for all eternity. Are you ready to ask Jesus into your life to be your good shepherd? It doesn't mean that nothing bad will ever happen to us. The world can be a hard place. This week we've been thinking of lockdown and the hardships many people have faced because of it. And the church buildings, a place some people would go for solace, have been closed. Yet in reality, the church has been very much alive. There have been the amazing singing on YouTube, such as The Blessing, sung by Christians of very different backgrounds from all over the UK, connected by Zoom. We have our own At Your Service on Manx Radio, where different churches on the island take part. Yes, goodness and mercy have been present in the ravages of COVID-19. The Lord has been very much with us.
Thank you, Peter Shimin and Jacko, for that reflection on the words of the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." And now it's time for another lockdown life story, this time from a young person who, just a few months ago, was working in the biggest floating book fair in the world.
My name's Bethan Cannell, and I am born and brought up here on the Isle of Man. And for the last 2 years, I've been working with an organisation called Operation Mobilisation with their ship Logos Hope, which is the world's largest floating book fair in the world. We have 400 crew members from 65 different nationalities, and we are all volunteers, and we travel, we go to port, sharing knowledge, help and hope through our book fair. And as well as having people visiting the ship, we also have teams that go ashore, and we work with different organisations and churches and schools, continuing that message of sharing God's love and light, but also encouraging people to get involved in world missions in some way, whether that's actually going into places where Jesus is not known, or giving or praying for people in those areas. Beginning of March, the ship was in Jamaica, one of the larger islands in the Caribbean, and usually a very popular spot for the ship. It's known as the book ship in the Caribbean, and it's one of the most popular attractions when it comes. However, we did not get as many numbers as we thought. Usually when we'd be getting over 100 people every hour, we were maybe getting 100 people a day visiting. And then about halfway through March, Jamaica got its first case of coronavirus. And within 3 days, the ship had completely closed up. Everyone who was on break had to come back to the ship, and we had to stay on board. By the end of the week, we were given the option if we wanted to go home or stay on board. I decided to come home, as I actually have problems with my wrists that developed about a year ago from some of the work I was doing. So I made my way home. Thanks to God, within 24 hours, I'd managed to book a flight which flew straight to the UK, and then I managed to get home just a couple of days after they kicked in the 2-week quarantine in the Isle of Man. By the end of that week, the Isle of Man had a case. And as you all know, we then went into lockdown. And it's a crazy thing for many people, I think, who came home just before everything started. We all came from busy lives, doing a normal thing, whether that's being at university, going to classes, meeting with friends, or some of us slightly more obscure, living with 400 people, then moving back home. But it's a very sudden stop of pace, going from being busy every day, constantly seeing people, to then being stuck sometimes in a flat and sometimes in the middle of nowhere. For me, that wasn't the biggest struggle. One of the biggest struggles was actually coming back out of lockdown, being able to go out to places. I've struggled with social anxiety and stuff for a number of years, but it's something I've, thanks to God, I've been able to get used to, and I've got ways that I deal with that. But not going outside and not seeing people for about 2 months, it became scary to go back out again. I remember my first trip back into Ramsey with my mum, going around Co-op, and I was generally scared, partly because I do have visual tics when I do get anxious, and so scared of people seeing that and then that vicious cycle happening, but also just not used to seeing people and going into this new way of doing things where you're having to keep your distance, but there isn't really space to keep your distance. And I feel like a lot of us had that feeling going around shops and town and things. And sometimes it's just a case of getting back on track. Once we've stopped, it's very hard to get going again. Imagine walking up a hill. If it's something we struggle with and we're going uphill and we stop, it takes so much more power and so much more strength to keep going again. And that strength often can only come from God. I know for me, I've got way better now at going back outside, and I've been able to go and visit people, and it's been great. But for a lot of people, starting up again is scary. Maybe it's worth finding some people who are finding it scary and just chatting with them and seeing if you can come around for a coffee, even if it's just sitting outside. Sometimes that one step of you going towards them will help them be able to go back up the hill.
Come be with me, all you carry heavy burdens.
The world today in general looks very different. Yes, here in the Isle of Man, we've been very fortunate that we can now go back to normal life. However, in many countries, that is still not the case. In many countries, they've not been able to lock down. They've not economically been able to do it. This is also causing problems for world mission as a whole. Things like the ship or people who do crusades where there's large gatherings can no longer do it anymore. And it's making a lot of organizations rethink how they do things. I'd also challenge you to think about the wider world. Even though we call the Isle of Man the gem of God's earth, it's just a small part of God's massive masterpiece that is earth. And there are so many people who are really struggling throughout all this. So I also have another challenge for you. Think of a country, any country. It could be one you've been on holiday to, one you know someone from, or just a random one that's just popped into your head. Look that country up and start praying for them. You can look on websites like the Joshua Project or on Operation World and see where the prayer needs are in those countries, but also see what good stories are coming out of there. And keep this country in your heart and keep praying for them. Yes, we may not be able to travel at the moment, but the best thing about a prayer is a prayer can't catch a virus and a prayer doesn't need a visa. A prayer can go exactly to the heart of where it needs to go. So I challenge you to think of a country, put it in your heart, write it down in a notebook, put a little thing up on it on your computer, like get a picture of the flag or something like that, and just keep that country in your heart and be praying for them and the people and the leaders of that country, as well as our own.
Thank you, Bethan Cannell. And if you'd like to find out more about the Christian mission organisation Operation Mobilisation and the ship, the Logos Hope, there's a website with a very easy name, om.org. And we end reflecting on another very topical issue. June the 22nd was Windrush Day, marking the 72nd anniversary of the arrival of the Empire Windrush at Tilbury Docks in East London. A special service was held last weekend in St Peter's Church in Walworth, South East London, to mark the anniversary, and it was led by Rector of the Church, Jamaican-born Father Andrew Mocton Mumby, who wore the Windrush Cope, a robe or vestment used by clergy at special occasions. And you'll hear Father Andrew explain what it represents and why he feels so privileged to wear it.
The Windrush was one of a number of former troop ships which travelled from the UK to the Caribbean, returning, serving British Commonwealth troops to their homes, and on the return journey, bringing, at the invitation of the British government, Jamaican and other British Commonwealth citizens from the West Indies to the UK to help rebuild life in Britain after the Second World War. Many who came to England experienced horrible racism in society, but also in our parish churches, including here at St. Peter's, where a very faithful family of Anglicans, originally from Barbados, were literally barred by the rector at the time from entering St. Peter's Church due to the colour of their black skin. And there is still racism in the church today, and it is a very serious disease and a sin, which I believe each one of us is called to work hard and work urgently to end. As we mark Windrush Day, we cannot but lament the awful Windrush scandal, which many people had a greater insight into recently, watching Sitting in Limbo on TV. The story of Anthony Bryan and how his life was wrongly wrecked due to the racism of the UK Home Office in its treatment of British citizens who happened to have black skin. Our lament and sadness, friends, should make us want to make a difference, to build a better, fairer church and world. This beautiful robe that I am honoured to wear for this service is called the Windrush Cope. It was designed by Terry Duffy and includes thanksgiving, lament, and protest. It features Bishop Rose Hudson Wilkin, who was born in Montego Bay, Jamaica, as was I by coincidence. Bishop Rose has done great things in the Church of England, but has also faced discrimination and racism, and has said that we in the Church need to work hard to get our own house in order. She is now the Bishop of Dover. The cope also features Sam King, MBE, who was born in Jamaica, served as an RAF aircraft engineer during the Second World War, and returned to Britain on the Empire Windrush in June 1948. Sam experienced both racism and kindness in his life in Britain. As the first black person to be mayor of Southwark, he received death threats from the National Front, who said that a black person shouldn't be mayor. Mr. King was awarded an MBE by the Queen in 1998 for services to his community and is remembered with great respect and fondness here in this borough of Southwark today. The cope also features a large cross. The cross reminds us that Jesus is especially close to us when we suffer, but also reminds us that when we hurt people through racism or discrimination, we hurt Jesus too. Jesus, who was a person of colour, who was brutally murdered himself unjustly. Dear friends, your life matters. My life matters. And because we have so graphically seen the horrific impact of those three global pandemics on people of colour, on black and minority ethnic people in particular, I encourage us all to say loudly and strongly, even now, Black Lives Matter. Friends, I believe more than ever that the whole human family is on a journey, a mental, spiritual, and emotional journey. May Jesus Christ give you and me the grace today and every day to live a new life as citizens of the Kingdom of Heaven here on earth, so that all God's children may be free and flourish with the fullness of life which Jesus promises us all. Amen.
Jamaican-born Father Andrew Mucktin Mumbi, Rector of St. Peter's Church in Southeast London, delivering a powerful message for all of us. Father Andrew was speaking at a service marking Windrush Day earlier this week. And that's all that we've time for today. My thanks to everyone who took part in the programme, and my thanks to you for your company. Do please keep letting me know the hymns that you'd like to hear. You can email me anytime on judithleigh@manxradio.com, and Lay is spelled L-E-Y. I really would love to hear from you. I'll be back here next Sunday morning at 9:30, as the Churches of the Island will once again be at your service. So, till we meet again, this is Judith wishing you and those you love a safe and blessed week, and a very good morning. The Nation Station.